All right, folks. First, we're going to give a shout out to a listener who just chatted us through the website, which you can do too, by the way, at wrev.org. Or you can call in. I keep forgetting to give the phone number. That's why we're not getting, why only AI is calling us. We're getting spam calls in the studio. But if you want to call the studio, 802-656-4399 is the number. But cheap seats, $2.
Oh, it would be beautiful if it went back to that day.
Oh, my God.
Like, I thought $5 movie night at Essex was a great deal. And now I'm like, oh,
remember
they're
that?
Overcharging
no,
me.
No, they are overcharging you. And then also we were just like, we're trying to like quickly quiz each other. What is actually $2 today? And really not a lot of anything. And it was like, and I was like, okay, maybe one banana.
Yeah.
From like Shaw's.
Seriously. Like not, it's got the
organic.
Chiquita brand.
Yeah.
Like
and green. It's
going
to be green.
Exactly.
For sure. Okay. Wow. Well, thank you, caller, for reminding us. Just how good the good old days were, indeed. Or cheap, I guess I should say, the good old
days
were.
Yeah, I want to say that was maybe 2008 when they closed.
Oh. Yeah, it was. God. Well, maybe after the show, we're going to go into business together and just create some cheap seats together because it really, what a great business model. Like, you're always going to have people in the seats. Like,
seriously.
Isn't that the point?
Could you,
maybe I just snuck stuff in, but like, I feel like you also could bring snacks and
like,
drinks in? Was that a thing? Maybe not.
I don't know if you weren't allowed. Like, I do
did
it anyways.
Yeah, did
you
they
know?
Care? No.
But I can't imagine a teenager working in a movie theater is, like, going to throw it down over that, you know?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Okay, so the music that folks just heard, why don't you give them a little what we call back sell in the radio world?
So we were just listening to Heaven or Las Vegas by the Cocteau Twins. Preceding that was Dancing in the Wild by Sue Lee. And again, sorry to any Dutch fans. But before that was Sin's One Dag of Two by Domar.
Better you than me. Love it. Okay, great. Okay, so we're almost at the half hour mark at 5:30. You're listening to WREVF in Burlington. I'm DJ Lou. We got DJ Wolf here. They've been selecting all the music, wonderful, wonderful taste in music, mixed from a bunch of their friends from various sources in their life. This is the fun part about just like radio made by the people, real life people, not algorithms. And now I want to get some of your hot takes on movies. So we were getting into this a little bit, and then we got totally sidetracked in the best kind of way in soundtracks. And so so you're a horror fan.
Huge horror fan.
Like adjacent thriller, right? Because thriller's different, right?
Yeah, thriller's like a different vibe. I like when there's like a ghost or a monster to be scared of. But thriller, I feel, more falls into like the humans are doing it.
Which is
creepy,
right?
It is creepy, and it's very realistic. But I like when there's a creature.
Yeah.
I really identify with them.
That's the thing. So I was telling you before COVID, I was a big fan of post-apocalyptic plots, books, movies, all that kind of stuff, TV shows. And I dabbled in zombies for a while, like Walking Dead came out. I was like, okay, I can get into this. And the thing about, I think what I really liked about those plots was that it wasn't the bad in people in the end times. It was the good in people in the end times, right? So like, you know, people coming together and figuring it out and just like doing the right thing. And then there was always, of course, a couple evil dudes. But like, you know, the good would almost always win out in most cases. And then something had happened, I would say definitely in the last 10 years, where, you know, it was like the anti-hero became this big thing.
Yeah, that's
and like
so true.
The hero didn't always win, and the evil guys definitely started getting more gory and like intense, and it was the like, let's be afraid of the people thing. And I was like, I need to take a break. And then COVID came, I was like, I definitely need to take a break from this genre. But then this like thriller, like I've been dabbling in thrillers, and it's like, it's not the jump scare for me.
Yeah.
It's more the like, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. If it's done well, right, you're like, I don't know what's going to happen because the Hollywood tropes of like the good guy always wins and don't worry, they're not going to like kill the animal. Like,
yeah,
or, you know what I mean? There were certain rules that happened, and I feel like they're kind of tossing rules at this point. So so as a fan of thriller adjacent, just dipping my toe in, maybe I might dabble in horror. Where would you recommend I start if I were to kind of like, and don't scare me really hardcore off. I can do monsters, no problem, but I just like, you know,
I feel like getting into the classic slashers would be a huge one to dip into. Friday the 13th, Sleepaway Camp, even Scream is like, Scream is one of my top genre, like
that's
franchises.
The don't go in
the
there
thing. It's the whole don't go in there, but like it's like making fun of the genre too.
Sure.
Of
yeah.
like poking fun because it's Wes Craven and he made Nightmare on Elm Street. But a lot of those like 80s and 70s horror movies are just so silly.
Yeah.
Like these days, they're using the craziest effects to try and scare your pants off.
Yeah.
But in the 80s, it was like, yeah, so we have like some, like, it's mainly like special effects, which is also a great addition because what an awesome thing that people were doing. Like, they're, the thing is a masterpiece of special effects.
Interesting.
But, like, a lot of those, like, 80s and 70s movies, like, they're not really scary because something so ridiculous is happening.
Yeah.
Like, Freddy Krueger extends his arms, and you're like, what is happening? Yeah. This isn't scary. This
well, is exactly. just silly. So, and it's almost like, we were also talking about this a little bit of, like, so the ridiculous, and it's almost comical, and now there is comic,
yeah.
like, energy in some mm-hmm. of these, like, movies as a, like, relief, or just almost like a delightfully unexpected component exactly. of the plot, right? Where it's like they don't take themselves so seriously enough, even though you know they're about to die.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's still a moment of like it's almost like a glimmer of humanity or something. I haven't quite got my head around it, but
yeah.
But I'm like, I think that's why I like some of these few thriller movies mm-hmm. I've stumbled upon, because it like it's had a laugh track to it yeah. almost. So I'm like, I don't know what is again genre mixing. What is happening? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah. I love like a creature feature. I feel like those ones are especially so silly. And one of my favorite movies I've watched in recent years is Slaughterhouse, which the whole premise okay. is a sorority adopts a sloth, and it's a killer sloth.
I'm sorry, I thought you were saying a reference of Slaughterhouse, and you're saying sloth.
Slaughterhouse.
Slaughterhouse. Yeah. I can't even say that. Slaughterhouse.
It's a pun off of Slaughterhouse, okay. but yeah, the whole premise is okay. like a killer sloth, and it's the most ridiculous, but they use a puppet for the whole movie, and I'm like, that's what I want to see. I do not want to see a CGI sloth. I want to see a little puppet
yeah.
that like I could dream that I could take home.
Is it like a slow roll, like for real?
It was for real.
Okay.
And it was like a passion project, and you could feel like you were like, this is not the best acting I've ever seen in my
sure,
life.
Sure.
I gave it 5 stars on Letterboxd. I was like, this is beautiful.
Wow.
This is one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Wow. See, again, this is that, this is this other subgenre I feel like needs some credit. A movie that's so bad it's good.
Mm-hmm.
So the one that I'm going to reference everyone out there, it's called Moonfall. Have you seen this?
I've seen it like forever ago.
Okay. It's worth going back to.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. Holly Berry's in it.
Mm.
There's a few other like kind of like B-list actors in it too. But it's a movie that has 18 plots in it. And you're like, yes, we are going there.
Yeah.
Oh, and yep, now the movie's like shifted into, it's like, I'm like, originally, and I felt like it was laughable, but I was like, you are keeping me going. So mm-hmm. like, I'm not ruining the plot. The moon starts to like come towards Earth to like hit Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like messing with the tides, and it's doing all the things that like a moon coming to Earth would do,
yeah.
right? And like, if you're stuck on the planet, you're like doing the classic, it's the end of the world, like gotta get mm-hmm. out of the way of the waves and all these things. And it, but there were just like these, like, it just builds and builds and builds. And I really delighted when I realized, I forget which streaming service it's on, but you know how they like, you know, do the algorithms, and these mm-hmm. are the most popular, and Moonfall is like sitting on number two. And I was like, that thing came out like 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It did not get the love it needed as one of the best bad movies that has ever mm-hmm. been made. And I'm like, it is having its moment. Like, thank God. Thank you, streaming services, to allow these movies to get a second life.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, I could talk about all day, these end of the world movies all day, but
they're
but,
so ridiculous.
But these are
so fun.
Yeah. These are these horror ones. We have another listener that's chatting in here through the website. I don't know if you can see this, but
mm-hmm.
so they're recommending Carrie, Rosemary's Baby, Halloween One. Now, you guys, you're all hitting on my, like, I was a kid at sleepovers in the 90s
mm-hmm.
and I was not allowed to watch R-rated movies. And these things, there was like some movie that was called Sleepers, I think, where like you would intentionally die a little bit and you would go into a dream state and then
oh.
they would pull you back. And I literally, I still have
yeah.
nightmares about that movie. And I was like, too much, mm-hmm. too much for like the delicate little kid that was like, you know, mm. white knuckling it through the sleepover, trying to be the cool kid to watch these. So I don't know, guys. We'll see. I might, mm-hmm. maybe I'm old enough now that I can go back to this. But
yeah, I will say I used to be horrified by Freddy Krueger. Like
okay.
when I was 8, he was
yeah,
the scariest thing to me.
Yeah.
Now I'm laughing at those movies.
Okay. You're so, giving me hope here. You're
exactly.
giving me some courage.
Okay. I couldn't even watch Scooby-Doo growing up
okay.
at night because it would give me nightmares. And now I'm watching anything that comes out.
Okay. All right. So. All right. Well, I appreciate all the movie recs. Thank you. And dabbling into horror. And again, Moonfall people out there, just trust the DJ, you know, who's making movie references when I'm supposed to just be here for music. So we're getting into this next set. We've got music going on till 6 o'clock here. Where are we going next?
Yeah, we're going to a kind of like a bluegrass cover-ish
right.
and, you know, folky cover of Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
I love a good cover. Let's do it.
Even while we sleep, combattre le feu par le jeu. Combattre le feu par le jeu.
Folks, DJ Lou here on WRUVF in Burlington with DJ Wolf guest hosting and picking these great tunes. What did we just hear?
Yeah, so we were just listening to Make Out Music by 12 Rods, preceded by Jouer by Ariane Moffat. And then before that was Everybody Wants to Rule the World, a cover by The Acadian Wild.
Yes, I love a good cover. And I was telling you, I'm going to tell you my equation for what makes a good cover. Mm-hmm. So like anybody can cover a song, right?
Yeah.
And most of the time, I would say probably like at least 90% of the time, when people cover a song, they're trying to mimic it.
Yeah.
So it's like, and dude, if it's a, if, especially if it's like an iconic song, like mm-hmm. good luck doing that cover like that. Like Seriously. Tears for Fears, like good luck.
Yeah.
The way that extra 10%, you got to go the above and beyond where mm-hmm. you are doing something a little different.
Yeah.
But still giving enough homage to the original song, right? Mm-hmm. So, and beyond, like obviously it's the lyrics, like people would recognize it. But I feel like when you change genres, like we yeah. heard it with that one where it's bluegrass and not like new wave, right, which mm-hmm. is what Tears for Fears was, it gives you something pleasantly different to listen to, and that's what makes a good cover. I mean, it's not overly complicated, I feel like, but it's just like, and that's why also like when I've seen like cover bands, I'm just kind of like, this is fun,
yeah,
but
it's like I can listen to this at home.
Yeah.
What are you adding on top of it?
Give me a little something, something.
Yeah. I love genre covers where it's like changing it to other ones. Like, especially like when they make there was this one YouTube video I used to watch that was like R&B songs as musicals.
Okay.
And I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
This rocks. Like, yeah. I love a genre bend.
Yeah.
It's so much fun to listen to. And I'm like, you know what? What would that sound like if it was that different genre?
I agree. It's kind of like, and then the other thing that's great about covers is like, what, you know, we're used to people who are up and coming doing a cover, right? It's like, yeah. it's a great hack to kind of get on the radar, be on soundtracks, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's oftentimes like, oh, like they did a cover, it's recognizable enough. And then it's like, right. oh, I'm going to go down the rabbit hole of mm-hmm. this person's music. I love it when a known name does a cover.
Yeah.
It's like, they are not too humble to take on that cover. Mm-hmm. And like, you got to imagine like, you know, like, so Beyonce has done covers, which I think a lot of people are like, oh my God, wait, she's done covers. And like, can you imagine getting that call from Beyonce to be like, could I cut, like the legal team to be like, could Beyonce cover?
Like, I'd be like, whatever you want. This sounds great. So
take a kidney while you're doing, you need anything else from me? Like, mm-hmm. I got you. Like, yes, yes, yes to this. And then the kind of like, you know, the super group surprise stuff when you see people live come together mm-hmm. and then do a cover together. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm not going to remember what they covered, but like when Brandi Carlile was doing duets with Elton John, when they had that like moment and they
that
were like,
so much fun.
And I was like, this is, or when, you know, Brandi and Joni were together with like, when helping her get back mm-hmm. into the, you know, the music scene. It's just like, they obviously are doing the, like, you know, the lexicon of all these people's music, but then they always throw in a little fun thing to be like, mm-hmm. yeah, now we're going to do like an unexpected cover. And it's just like, it's just such a delightful thing as a music lover to just hear that, because you feel like you're in on the inside mm-hmm. experience with them, you know, and it cements the cool, especially when seen live, experience of music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. There was like a girls group that I used to listen to in college, and everyone would always go like freak out because they always had a cover in all of their performances.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'd be like, oh, what song are we going to get?
Yeah.
It was always so exciting. And that's like, it's a fun little guess. It's like, obviously we know all the music, but are we going to know the song that they're covering?
Exactly. This is why, do you know the band Lucius?
Yes.
So fantastic vocalists, mm-hmm. like just... seeing Lucius live is always a great experience. I just have to say, like, if you're ever like on the fence about spending the money, spend the money. Trust me mm-hmm. on this one. But they love covers, and they're like that. They will always throw a couple covers in, usually during an encore, if I remember correctly. But they've also mm-hmm. put them on their albums. And again, it's like a cover done well, y'all. A cover done well. Like,
it's so good.
Love it.
Keeps you going.
It keeps you going. We're probably not going to play a cover next, just to be clear. No, we didn't have that lined up. It's cool. But we got 10 minutes left. So we were talking about like, okay, now we probably have another, I don't know, 45 minutes of song. I don't know. We have a lot more than we have to play. Mm-hmm. So what are the last couple songs that you want to fit in here?
Yeah. So the last couple songs I'm thinking is we'll do Split Lip by Forager. Mm-hmm. And then, I'll do the Give Me a Sign by Isla Tessler. And then If It All Goes South by Sammy Rae and the Friends, if we have time.
All right. That's going to be what we hear in the next little bit here. DJ Wolf, thank you so much for hanging out
for
this show.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been such a delight.
I'm so glad to hear that. This is, you know, I was telling you before we were getting going that like radio is like a weird thing. It feels like magic if you're like on the other side of the speakers there. Mm-hmm. And then I'm always a little worried when people come in and see the, like, it's like, you know, the Great Oz, like we're going to take the curtain here and we're here to see what this actually looks like. I'm like, does the magic still hold? And, you know, does it still feel like a fun experience? And like, it's really a lot of fun to actually do team radio, because usually I'm in here by myself. And so it's just, it's been a lot of fun to spend the afternoon with you. So thanks. Yeah,
this has been so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Split Lip. Stay tuned.
Fill my diary of a void. change a thing, but you would trade with me. You wouldn't change a thing, but you would trade with me. Skinny's cartoon quicksand, that's where they're pretending. They're counting every minute up until the ending. They're counting every minute up until the ending. Split lips and ashy hands. Split lips and ashy hands.
Time.
I'm telling you, I'm going to pick many of these tracks off here to put on my own little listening mixtape when I get home here. Like that last one, that was actually like, I love like that kind of like.
I know, it's like
let the guitar just do its thing at the end. Yeah. Yeah. Open up was what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. All right. We had two songs there. Let's tell folks what they heard. And then believe it or not, y'all, we are wrapping up the show. 2 hours have come and gone with DJ Lou and DJ Wolf. We might have to do this again, y'all. Or maybe I have to come to you and do improv.
Absolutely. We would absolutely get you God. On there.
Oh, I don't know. See, here's the thing about radio people. I have to tell you. If you put me in front of a live audience, two things happen. One, my arms go numb. This is a true story, actually, everybody. Whoa. This was actually live TV, so I feel like that was actually another level of like kind of intensity when the camera is right on you it's live. So something happened to my arms during that particular thing. Most of the time when I'm in front of a live audience, I need something to do. So that's why like when I DJ live, I'm like, oh, I'm DJing live and I can just kind of focus on this. But if I'm like up giving a speech, not that I give lots of speeches, guys, but like, you know, or like in an audience, it's like somewhere between arms going numb and like, you know, dry mouth and like probably all the things that you're very, you know, used to coaching people through. But I don't know. Let me say it this way. Let me come be an audience for you first. Totally. And then we can see if I have the gumption to actually improv. Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, that's the thing that's beautiful about improv is like, if I'm having a bad day, I've got teammates who are having a great day, and I can just be in the background and be like, oh, yeah. I'm going to act like I'm trying to open a jar because it's all open. Object work.
Yeah, sure.
So,
sure.
Yeah, but that's the nice thing is like, even if I'm doing terribly, nobody's laughing at my jokes. I know that everybody around me is so funny, and I can just be like, well, I'm just going to set you guys up to be funny.
There it is. The generosity of spirit. And that I was saying before, like, you know, clearly,